Welcome to Career Tours. This week, video conferencing from home. The questions this cast answers are, what should I do when video conferencing from home? What should I not do when video conferencing from home? And what concerns should I have when video conferencing from home?
This episode of Career Tools is brought to you by Roadmap, Manager Tools' new application that allows managers to roll out the Trinity, one-on-ones and feedback, and to monitor and measure every step along the way. You'll have a dashboard to see how you're doing, and we'll help you with every single step from scheduling your one-on-ones all the way through to reporting on how you're doing. Come see us at managertools.com/roadmap.
More and more of us work from home, you know, at least part of the time. And more, a conference call no longer just means audio, it means video as well. Being at home and being on video are good things for employees. Like, it's good for us in the sense that we get to work from home. That's awesome. My commute is 10 steps. Makes me very happy. And being on video means that we can see each other's face. We get so much more of the communication when we have video and we're not just looking at audio. And it's good for the organization because if we are communicating better, you know, the organization runs more smoothly. But being at home and on video can pose some traps or let us fall into some traps that we wouldn't do in the office. There's some other things to think about. So this is the outline we're going to cover today. Get dressed, take care of the basics, silence your electronics, clean up your space, log on 5 minutes early, and move the picture.
So let's start with getting dressed, right? There is a definite temptation when you're working from home, right, to wear your at-home clothes. Why wouldn't you? That's one of the perks people feel.
Exactly. I don't have to wear my uncomfortable office clothes.
Exactly. So from a shirt that's perhaps a little bit more comfortable than stylish, all the way to pajamas, right? Your at-home clothes really run the gamut of what we think might be acceptable. Now, we recommend that you get dressed as if you are going to the office every day at home. So at minimum, you should be able to leave your house and, for example, meet, a colleague, a friend, somebody for lunch without being embarrassed about what you're wearing. That is a good general rule, a measure of, is this appropriate? It's a psychological thing, right? It's a switch in our head that makes a big difference. If you want at this point, maybe listen to our cast on being effective working from home for some more details. And for video conferences, it's really a necessity. We just don't want to show our colleagues our pajamas.
Right. And there's another temptation. If we give in to the fact that actually on video, we have to look like we're dressed, so we put a nice top on, and then we wear our pajama bottoms or our leggings or some, you know, tracksuit or whatever. And maybe you've seen images of newsreaders or weathermen or weather ladies, I suppose. Sometimes you see them on the internet and they're wearing a suit at the top and then they have shorts or something underneath, you know, or they have some casual part of their outfit. There is a picture of Mark floating around the internet in what he calls the fashion mullet, which is a suit on top and shorts and flip-flops on the bottom. And, you know, you think, oh, well, that makes sense, right? I'm going to be on video. They're only going to see me from my desk up, so I can wear whatever I like on the bottom half.
We do not recommend doing that. Even if you're absolutely convinced that you're not going to need to get up during the call, right? We recommend wearing your smart clothes on your whole body. You can need to adjust the air conditioning, or you get a knock, you have to run to the door. Something comes up in topic of conversation and you have to grab a file that you didn't expect to need, or your pen runs out of ink. Any sort of bizarre reason. It's a meeting goes extra long and you have to run to the kitchen to grab water or a cup of coffee or whatever it may need. And you will show that poorly dressed body to the other people on the call, right? There's a million reasons that you might not expect to, but may have to end up standing up during that video meeting. And it's guaranteed that if you decide to wear clothes that are shorts, for example, in the bottom half, it's going to be the day when it's like you're painting shorts or something just terrible that day.
Yeah. It's just Murphy's Law, you know, if the worst can happen, it can happen. It's not only your clothes that matter. You want to do your hair and makeup for ladies as if you're going into the office too. So many people, many women with long hair, including you and I, we twist our hair up and just put it in a scrunchie. It's kind of just pushed up. And that's our at-home hair. It's out of the way. Maybe men will go an extra day or two without shaving or, you know, not brush their hair. And when you're at home and nobody is seeing you, it's fine. You know, it doesn't matter if your hair's just pushed up or whatever. But on a video call where people can see you, it's not neat enough. And this is especially true if the call is first thing in the morning, because if you just put your hair up or you haven't shaved or whatever, you may look like you just got up. And that it really isn't the kind of message that you want to convey. There's a little bit of unfairness, I guess, to this, in that if you are dressed more casually or, you know, your hair is more casual or whatever, people may assume that you are not working as hard as you are. And if you look smart and, you know, you look dressed as if you were going into the office, then people will assume that you're working hard at work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The next piece of this guidance is take care of the basics. And there's really two parts to this. First, you don't want anything that will interrupt or cause noise on the call that's going to prevent others from seeing and hearing you. And secondly, you don't want anything that will interrupt or cause noise and distract you specifically.
Yeah, offices are temperature controlled, the noise level is fixed, there aren't any washing machines or dryers or whatever. Someone else takes care of the deliveries. And at home, that's not the case. All of these things happen and there's only you there probably. So you need to take care of the basics before the call starts so that both the people you're talking to and yourself are not distracted.
So that means preparing in advance, right? Making sure the temperature in the house is set correctly so you don't have to get up and fiddle with that. If you have air conditioning or heating, we were just talking about this, that makes noise in the room, right? Make sure that it's taken care of, that it's not noisy. Sometimes I know here in the city, I leave the window open and if there's traffic or ambulances or anything like that, lets noise in. If you have a pet, my cat likes to sit at the door to the office and meow at me incessantly. So shut the door, right? Lock yourself in a quiet space so as not to have those distractions throughout the call.
Right. And if you're doing laundry or the dishwasher's going and they're making noise close enough to you to affect the call, then make sure they're off. And sometimes they might not be, you might be in a corridor, you know, and the washer is going at the end of the corridor and you're at the end, the other end. And so you can't hear the washer going, but they have really loud beeps to tell you that they're finished. Those are completely distracting. So if that's what your washer is going to do, then don't wash while you're on a conference call.
Absolutely. And we at Manager Tools, we use a lot of Skype. So if you've got Skype, if you type echo into the search for contacts box and you follow those instructions, you'll get a recording of what your sound sounds like. So listen to it and listen, is there noise in the background? And if you can, you need to do what you can do in the moment to minimize that, right? If Skype won't work for you, then test it with a colleague maybe or a friend, someone that you can call before the actual conversation starts.
Right. And these things are things that you learn over time. And so probably, you know, if you're on your 50th video call at home, you don't even think about setting this stuff up. But initially, you want to make sure that if somebody is on the call with you, that there isn't so much noise. And that takes a little bit of working out what's making the noise and then stopping it. If you can, avoid having deliveries when you're on call. You can create accounts with UPS and FedEx and USPS or wherever you are, the delivery companies, that allow you to see when the deliveries are coming. And it's often to the nearest couple of hours. It's no longer a parcel or a package will arrive somewhere between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. They're much more exact now. And you might think, oh, they leave it at the door every time. And it will be the one time that they want you to sign for something. I remember a package coming to me, and not only did the guy want me to sign, he then wanted to explain something on the app. He was like, so if you use the app and you do this, this, and this, you'll get 20% off. And I was like, I don't use the app, and I'm on a phone call, and everybody else has just heard you explain that to me, right? Like I say, it's Murphy's Law. The one day you don't want that to happen, it will happen.
And again, make sure if you've got kids or pets, just really anybody else that's in the same house or building as you, make sure they're occupied in another room so that you can concentrate. So if that means your office or whatever room you're in, lock the door if it's possible, right? And especially pets and small kids, they don't know where they're not supposed to go. They're not always obedient to you. So you should make sure that your conference call has the others in your life occupied in the one some way, shape, or form.
Right. And you cannot be on a conference call and watching children and be effective. And look, we're not saying you can't be at home working from home and have your children there. You know, there are days when you have to be watching your kids, and that's why you're home. Right? One of them is sick, or it's a day when the schools are closed, or it's the holidays. And we definitely want you to put your children first. We want you to put your family first. But if you have to do so, then move the conference call, if it's at all possible, so that you don't have to be watching a sick child and trying to concentrate on the conference call. And we move calls for all sorts of reasons all the time. You know, yesterday I had a call booked with Paul, and I just hadn't got done everything that I needed to get done before that call. And I said, please, can you wait 30 more minutes? And of course, Paul says yes, because we say that. If anybody says, I'm sorry, I'm at home, my kid's sick, can we move the conference call to tomorrow? 99 times out of 100, the people on the call will say yes. And if you don't believe us, think about what you would say if somebody said that to you. You would say yes. So don't try and watch your children or pets come to that. Don't try and be watching something and being on a conference call. If you have to do the watching, then move the conference call.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The next piece of the puzzle is silence those electronics, right? So all the time, just like it's a meeting in the office, right? Silence your phone, flip it over, right? So that you can't see the screen. It doesn't light up and distract you every time someone messages you. If your phone starts pinging you because you're getting a bunch of whatever text messages in a meeting, we suspect you and others are using a back channel. You're saying one thing aloud, and at the same time, you're texting one another something different. And we don't recommend you do that.
And even if you're not doing that, that's what people think you're doing.
Mm-hmm. They will suspect it anyway.
Yeah. Turn off all your notifications. If a notification appears, we get distracted by it. If it's on your screen or your phone, close your email, close any files that you're not talking about on this call, close your browser, get rid of all of the distractions. It is way harder to concentrate on a video call than it is in a face-to-face situation. It's much easier to be distracted. And so you don't want to set yourself up for failure by having all these distractions. Set yourself up for success by getting rid of all of them.
Mm-hmm. And if it's a video camera, right? If they can see that you're looking, your eyes are jotting around all over the place, people just don't think you're paying attention. The next piece is clean up your space. So look around. What's on your desk, right? Video calls cause us to act differently than when we're just working at our desks. You might be okay when you're working through the course of a day with several piles of paper on your desk. But when you move your keyboard away, have you got a space to take handwritten notes? Or are you in danger of sometimes what I am, knocking your coffee over when you make an empathetic gesture, right? So can you find things without, for example, in the course of a meeting, without spending several minutes saying, oh, it's around here somewhere. Just give me a second. No, not there. I swear, guys, I just had it. Where did I put it? Hang on a second. Nope. No. Oh, I know. Right? And how many times does that happen? You know it's true. You've heard people do it. So clean off your desk.
And clean up the background that people will see on your video. If there is a flat space, it attracts clutter. Paper, dishes, spare change, several things that need to be put away, any flat space, collects things. Think of it as if someone were coming into your office in a real life. If this were your office, someone is coming into it, do you want them to see the dishes that you didn't put away or a pile of papers that make you look unorganized? You know, maybe your filing system is, I'll just put it here and deal with it later. It's fine, but move that out of the way so that the people who are watching you can't see it. Because people will also be distracted by what's in the background of what you have. You know, they look at whatever's on the credenza behind you.
Mm-hmm. They will. And it will become the topic of conversation then, not the meeting itself. What is behind your desk? I used to have a picture of a monkey hanging by my desk.
You did.
It was, yeah, the topic of conversation for everybody. It's gone now because that's all we ever talked about was, oh, hey, nice monkey picture. It's taking away from the meeting.
Exactly. Don't have a TV behind you. That's something else, because it reflects the back of you and also other parts of the room. And there's another thing. If you have a TV in the room, even if it's not on, it kind of implies that you might be watching that TV sometimes. And again, there's an impression that is given that you are not fully working when you're at home. So you want to clean up your space, clean up what's behind you. And again, do more than what you think can be seen on the video screen, because, you know, the day that you haven't cleaned up, you know, the chair that you have in your office is the day that for some reason the video camera goes over there. You know, I have two monitors and sometimes the video comes on the wrong monitor and people get a completely different view of my office and they can see whether or not I tidied up. So tidy up.
And speaking of those computers, clean up the desktop on your computer. For example, like just a less professional name or hundreds of folders on the desktop, right? Or a mildly embarrassing email message or text message left open, confidential spreadsheets you could be working on, right? That maybe not everyone should see. You just know when something like that is pulled up on your computer, even if it is an oddity, that's the time you'll be unexpectedly sharing your screen. Again, Murphy's Law. Hey, don't just move it behind another screen. Your conferencing software is bound to hiccup and show what you don't necessarily want shown. So clean desktops.
And then as a final check, look at the picture that your video is showing. So most of the video conferencing software will show you a picture of what everybody else is seeing. So you want to make sure that it's catching the tidied space, that it's not accidentally catching some other things into the image. Make sure that it's your face that other people will see, you know? Because that thing, when mine turns on the wrong video, you don't get to see my face. It's like I'm not there. And check the lighting. If you're near a window, the light from it can be too much, and so your face is blown out and people can't see you. Or you might be in shadow, so people can't see your proper face. So make sure that the lighting is allowing people to see your face.
Absolutely. So many people use laptops to video conference, right? So when the laptop is on your desk, just keep in mind also the angle of it, right? The angle of the camera. Sometimes based on where the laptop is, it could be shooting right up your nose or at the ceiling, right? And it's like, wow, this is weird. I can hear voices and I can see stipple. Right? So if necessary, maybe prop your laptop up on some books so that the camera is at level with your face and shows the front of your face, not some strange angle of your face. Doesn't matter that you can't type on a laptop, right? That's irrelevant if it's lifted like that, because we're not typing in meetings, right?
Right.
So in the same vein, we wouldn't recommend face typing on your phone and laptop. And then while you're doing that, walking around with your device, there's no need for you to wander around in a meeting taking your devices with you. So you wouldn't do it if they're in person. So no need to do it here.
And the last one is log on 5 minutes early. And there's two reasons for this. First, the video conferencing software may need an update, or you need to change your password, or it just glitches and you can't log on. And it's really hard to think straight when you're trying to fix something and you know you only have a minute till the call starts. If it's software that's new to you, then log on 10 minutes early, just double the time to give you extra time to get everything working.
And secondly, when you're not in office, you tend not to notice when something's about to start. So if you're in an office and you're in the weeds, you're doing something, concentrating, and not looking at the time, someone's bound to say to you, oh, hey, that meeting's starting, or they'll come and get you, right? If they notice, or as they're walking by, they'll pick you up. But if you're at home and you're in the weeds, you're really concentrating, and you look up and think to yourself, oh, this is great. I've got like another 30 minutes, plenty of time. There's a much bigger danger that the time you're going to look up a second time is about 10 minutes after the call has started. Right? How many times does that happen? Yeah, a million times, because there's no one there to prompt you. So if you log on that 5 to 10 minutes early, you can carry on working and the noise of the other people on the call signing on and saying hello, that will prompt you that the meeting is starting.
Right. And we recommend that you set an alarm. You know, that's the obvious answer, right? Set an alarm. But I find, or we found, that it's not enough. The alarm goes off 15 minutes before or 10 minutes before, and you still think, I'm just going to finish this, and miss the first 5 minutes of the meeting. So the alarm is not enough. When the alarm goes off, then log on. Then you'll be safe.
Plus, the first few minutes of a meeting are really good relationship building time, exactly like they are before a physical meeting when you're in person. Make small talk, talk to your coworkers. You don't get to bump into them in the hallway, right? If they're online. So ask people how they are. What's the weather like? How their child's school play went? Just things like that. Get to know people.
That time is so valuable, and yet people kind of dismiss it. And it's such a waste. And while we're on the topic of logging on, if it's a video conference, unless you have a really good reason, you don't get to dial in on your phone and be present by audio only. If you're in an airport, if you're in a hotel and there's really bad Wi-Fi, then okay. But most of us don't like being on video and will find any excuse for not being on video or not having the video running. And don't do it. It's not fair, because if everybody else is on video and you're just choosing not to, you're making the meeting worse because there isn't that communication, that face-to-face communication that can happen. And you're doing something that everyone else would want to do that they are not doing. They're being professional and putting what is necessary or what is advantageous to the group ahead of their own personal feelings. And you're doing the opposite. You know, if a meeting leader decides to do video over audio, it's not to annoy you or not to make your life difficult, because you're going to get all through all these things that Wendy and Sarah have just said.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
It's because it's more effective.
Absolutely. You don't get to put your personal preference above effectiveness of a meeting.
No, it's not fair.
It's not fair. And the last piece of the puzzle, and probably my personal favorite, is move the picture. So the image of people whom you're talking to on your video call will usually pop up somewhere in the middle of the screen or just wherever you had it placed last, right? Sometimes even on a side monitor or something. So move it so that the person's image is as close to the camera as you can get. So on our Macs, for example, there's a built-in camera at the very top of the frame with a little green light beside it. So we would recommend putting the image of the person or the people we're talking to right underneath that camera at the top of the screen so that you're looking as close to the camera as possible throughout your discussion.
That way, when you look at the person you're talking to, you're almost looking right into the camera. And that mimics what we do when people talk. When people are talking to us in real life, we look at their face. And so that's what we want to do on the video, because it's weird when somebody is talking to you and they're looking at something else. It's kind of like being in a face-to-face conversation and the person you're talking to is looking off to the side out of a window or something. A couple of seconds would be fine, like, oh, maybe they got distracted by something out the window. But if they did it constantly, that would be really strange. So we want to make sure that if we put the picture, the image of people, as close to the camera as possible when we're talking to those people, we will be as close as possible talking to their face.
Yeah, exactly. Looking at their face. Absolutely. So in summary, video conferencing, it's actually surprisingly difficult. We lose some of the communication because we're not face to face, and it's an easier method of getting distracted. There's a lot more distractions in that environment. We just need to take care of the message we're sending from our surroundings. However, it's easy to do better by doing some simple things.
Yeah, nothing we've discussed today is hard. It's just a case of making sure you do it before you're on the call.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, once you have a routine, autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
Go straight into that mode.
Exactly. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. Hope that was helpful. We'll be back next week.